That's not the name of the show. The name of the show is I Want to Believe, where we search for the truth, even though the truth hurts. Sometimes. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight on I Want to Believe. Along with me today is, he's staring at me, Calvin Hebert.
I really thought that was going to make you restart it.
No. I keep going. I keep on a trucking all night long. Allie Hebert down at the end of the table.
Hello.
And then, of course, the vivacious Lindsay Wolfgang to my right.
Hola.
So Allie and I, actually, the four of us just wrapped up. I know this is not pro wrestling unscripted, but we just wrapped up a hour-long tape session for TV, for Fox 23 KBSI, for Cape Championship Wrestling with Mr. Jeff Odell, and that was incredible. And I want you guys to check that out on Fox 23 every Sunday at 5 a.m. Allie?
Set your DVR.
Thank you. Dalton's not here, so she had to cover for him. And also replayed on YouTube Wednesdays. So we don't just do the paranormal here. We also do wrestling. We do video games. And Lindsay does Voltron.
Yay.
I mean, that involves aliens.
It does. Tonight, we got a couple
and
of...
magic.
Yes.
Wait, what magic?
There's magic in Voltron.
There's druids and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Altaian magic. And
yes.
I guess that technically could fit into I Want to Believe. And magic and sci-fi and stuff like that.
Quintessence, definitely.
Allie and I are shaking our heads at each other for once. We're on the same side here. You know what we've been watching lately? This is kind of related to the paranormal. We've been watching Candle Cove, Channel Zero.
Oh, so disturbing.
Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
You've watched American Horror Story, right?
They're yes. The most disturbing, campy puppets I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, so the story of Channel Zero Candle Cove, we're only two episodes in. I've been wanting to watch this series for a long time.
I was legit a little freaked out going downstairs in the dark after the last episode.
Good, that's what horror is supposed to do to you.
I don't like that. That's why I watch Care Bears afterwards.
That scares the shit out of me.
Care Bears are Care kind Bears of are,
although they're one of the best superheroes.
Yes, they are.
All time. No, Candle Cove, it's basically Channel Zero is an anthology series like American Horror Story.
Okay.
And I believe they're almost entirely based on what you kids would know as creepypastas.
Gotcha. And is it anthology season by season or
yes,
episode by episode?
Season by season.
Okay.
So the first season is entirely called Chandler. It's about Chandler from Friends.
Oh.
It's terrifying.
I mean,
could there be any more episodes?
Thank you, Chandler.
You're welcome.
I was called Chandler in high school.
Why?
Sarcasm.
Oh.
I was very sarcastic.
Okay. You were being sarcastic or they were being sarcastic when they called you Chandler? Did anybody actually call you Chandler?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to verify. Is Channel
no,
Zero?
No, I was being sarcastic.
Candle Cove. Stop doing that. Stop looking at each other and saying things. I'm not a Friends watcher, okay? It's the one with the guy that doesn't get Friends references. Anyway, Channel Zero Candle Cove, it's about a TV show from the like 80s that may or may not have existed called Candle Cove about puppets. It's kind of like what you would see today with Blue's Clues or, you know, it's like a kid's show.
Mm-hmm. It's
supposed to be a kid's show, but the way they film it is just disturbing. And the puppets, they'll show the puppets on TV and then occasionally the puppets will show up in real life as full-size versions.
Much larger.
Yeah. And it is actually disturbing.
That one-eyed mustached thing. Disturbing.
The first time you see the skeleton pirate
in the
dark and it's just like standing there. Pretty creepy. There's also a monster, from what we can tell, made out entirely of teeth.
That eats teeth.
All I will say is that kind of, yeah. It is the most, I'm more entertained by this than by any American Horror Story I've ever watched. I don't like American Horror Story. I can't. Hunter tried to beg me to watch the last one.
American Horror Story works a lot with shock factor.
Yeah.
And this Candle Cove or Channel Zero doesn't seem to...
It's a slower burn.
Yeah.
It's a much slower burn. Well, I say that's only two episodes in. Who knows? American Horror Story usually starts off pretty solid. The Roanoke series, I thought, started off pretty well until it got stupid. Stupid.
I don't even remember that one.
You didn't watch it.
Okay.
You got mad at us because we watched it without you.
And then you said, don't worry about it.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, you missed nothing. And the first season, Murder House, started off cool. And then when I got to ghost oral sex and stuff.
Yeah.
Lost interest.
The ghost got her pregnant, Shannon.
When the ghost got her pregnant, that's when I...
Ghost babies?
Yeah. Actually.
Ghosts in latex suits, you know.
You know, ghost rape.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with people? Stop it. Get some help.
Back on American Horror Story, I only got through like 2 seasons, so I'm with you on the kid didn't really grasp me.
Not at all.
Unlike these rapist ghosts.
The ghost got her pregnant against her will while wearing a latex bondage outfit.
Mm-hmm.
What a stupid show. And it's coming back for another season.
That doesn't
People love squalor.
Which, you know what? I vow to the listener right now, if you're listening, hello, if you're listening to me, I promise to watch the next season of American Horror Story and tell you my thoughts every month on I Want to Believe.
I don't believe you. Well, you and the episode starts over.
He wants to believe, but he knows better. All right, enough talk about TV shows about ghosts and stuff. Let's talk about aliens.
Yes.
Hey, kids, do you like the aliens? We love the aliens here on I Want to Believe. And I got a story out of Mount Vernon, Ohio, which kind of made me sad because there's a Mount Vernon, Illinois that I've been to.
Uh-huh.
And when I first saw that it was in Mount Vernon, I thought, oh, I'm going to go there. But
and then you saw it was Ohio.
It's Ohio. And I'm not going to Ohio. There's nothing good in Ohio. Nothing. Name one thing in Ohio that's worth visiting.
The you can't think of anything. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Legalized marijuana?
Jesus
Christ. Oh, no. I got one. I just totally blanked on what it's called.
Cool.
Gosh darn it. Cedar Point. But you don't like roller coasters, so never mind.
No, well, yeah, I'm a sane person. No sane person likes roller coasters. Everyone here dislikes roller coasters but you.
I love roller coasters.
Do you guys like roller coasters?
Sure.
They give me headaches.
Everything gives you headaches.
That's not untrue.
You need to start eating teeth.
I've only been on a handful, but...
I've been on 2 roller coasters my entire life. One was a wooden coaster that Lindsay talked me into at Kennywood in Pennsylvania.
The Racer.
Which was a mistake. I am not a racist, so I did not enjoy it.
That's not what it's about.
And the other is the mine cart in Six Flags. I like that one. That's for babies.
St. Louis is Six Flags.
I'm a baby.
There's several Six Flags.
I'm sure the listeners know.
The only one I remember is the Hershey Park, the Comet. I think
Lindsay?
It was.
Yeah, it's the Comet. It's weak. Okay.
Have you been? You've been on it?
Yeah.
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
That was
the home of chocolate.
The Big Bear is the one to ride there, but it's also kind of tame.
I think I was on that one too.
But
that
was really funny listening to the huge guy in front of me scream like a little girl.
Back to I Want to Believe.
Was it Shannon?
No, it wasn't.
No, I didn't scream like a girl on.
No, he just latched onto the bar, going, "I'm gonna die! I'm gonna die! I'm gonna die! I'm gonna die!"
You ever been on a roller coaster before? A wooden one?
Yes.
Yeah, they're not fun.
Yes, wait, they are.
They wasn't the Comet wooden?
Yeah, the Comet's wooden also.
Oh, well, it's terrible because it just shakes constantly.
They're not.
And
I didn't
vibrates.
Make you take. I didn't make you go on the Thunderbolt afterwards.
This is not I Want to Ride a Roller Coaster. That
well,
is a different show. And that airs on Fridays.
Yeah, with me by myself because no one else in this group will freaking ride anything.
Galvin said he loves them.
I mean, I apparently haven't been on any good ones, but.
Well, she can show you. She can show you. I remember she rode the Mr. Freeze ones.
I mean, I've ridden ones like that. They're boring also.
How is that boring? How is plummeting backwards toward the earth boring?
Because
what's
literally
you?
Just go up, you go backwards, you have a loop, a cobra back, you go up again, and then you go through it backwards.
What in life gives you excitement? How do you get off sexually if you can't even get excited about a roller coaster? There's nothing to a roller coaster. Like, what is wrong with you?
I'm just not impressed with that style of coaster.
God. Back to the show. This is from Coast to Coast AM. In a bizarre report filed to the Ohio chapter of MUFON, an anonymous witness claims to have possibly spotted an alien crossing a highway, according to a local media report. Why did I say it like that?
I don't know.
According to a local media report, which was from, I believe it was like Ohio Gazette or something, which I could not copy. I cite my sources on the show, you know, when I get stuff from it.
Like you couldn't find
it? I literally couldn't copy it. It's the site is set up to where I could not copy paste. So I did not use them for reporting. I use Coast to Coast. I normally like to go to the source, but I am not going to sit there and type out every single word. No, this is 2018. Anyway, according to a local media report, the truly strange incident occurred on the last day of July, I believe July 31st, near the city of Mount Vernon. The individual who encountered the potential ET has opted to keep their name private at this time, but was deemed a quote-unquote credible witness by a MUFON investigator who looked into the case. In the report, the witness explained that they were driving along the highway when a creature of some kind appeared out of a cornfield, because of course it did, and dashed across the road. Amazingly, the oddity was said to be a bipedal and 7 or 8 feet tall. While that may initially sound like a Bigfoot, because of course it is. The Observer noted that the entity had no body hair and more closely resembled a classic gray alien, and that it possessed spindly limbs. Spindly.
Weren't the classic gray aliens short?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Or are those the little green men? Little green men, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the grays
are more stretchy.
Well, except for Paul, who's like gangly. Supposed to be lanky.
Yeah, lanky and gangly.
Well, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul has Zim syndrome. He's not one of the tall ones.
It had an oversized head and black eyes. This is further borne out into sketch made by the witness and submitted to MUFON. I watched this. I saw the sketch. Ellie, you saw it too, didn't you? Independently.
Yeah, someone posted a picture because it was on their newspaper in Mount Vernon, and it like they had the sketch over the banner at the top, and it said like alien sighting or something like that, and then they had the full sketch.
And it's not, I mean, it's not quite as amateur as the leprechaun, but it was,
I love the leprechaun drawing.
But it was truly amateur in nature. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dalton.
Subsequent visit, I can't pronounce words tonight, to the site by UFO investigator Ron McGlone unfortunately failed to yield any indication that an alien or anything out of the ordinary had been in the area. Local police say they were unaware of any strange sightings during the time in question. I also looked into it, and they're not releasing the name of the exact area where it was seen out of respect to the homeowner who doesn't want people coming to his land to investigate a UFO. This is interesting to me in a lot of ways because you don't normally hear about alien sightings. It's always UFOs. I mean, anytime you have an alien sighting, it's usually related to a UFO or a craft or an abduction or something like that.
Or it's some kind of animal.
Or some kind of animal. Or a cryptid.
Yeah.
Which we'll be talking about later in the night, by the way. That's the main topic of tonight. Thank you, Calvin. We were going to talk about ghost television, like ghost hunters and stuff like that. But we really wanted Tanner to be here for that. Tanner, unfortunately, couldn't make it tonight. So we'll do that in a future episode. But anyway, yeah. So an alien runs across the street. And no picture, nothing like that. And I don't know how you would deem this a credible witness other than saying they weren't drunk.
Maybe
they were a member of high society.
High society,
if you know what I mean.
I mean, it is. Oh, wait, was it Colorado?
Ohio.
Oh, Ohio.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of Colorado.
That legalized the weed?
It might be both.
I don't know.
I know Colorado did.
Yeah. Made a lot of money that way. So what would you get? I'm curious.
I mean, are we sure it was a cornfield?
Not a weed field. I think they have those in Ohio yet. What would you do if you saw something like that? I'm kind of curious. You're driving along one night, because this is not the first time I've heard of people seeing a strange creature, you know, crossing the road. There's actually tons of videos online about strange creatures caught on cam or on dash cams and stuff like that. 99.99% of them are complete bullshit. You can kind of tell just by looking at them. There's an old saying that if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. But if you actually did see this cross the road, what would your first instinct to be? Would be to do. That's what I meant to say.
Depending on where I was, it would either be...
You'd chase it, wouldn't you? You get out of the car and go after it.
Potentially.
Oh, bad move.
It depends on where it is.
Well, yeah, if it's like the
streets
of Cape
Girardeau.
And how
well I know the area.
Yeah, no, you don't
Even if it's in the woods, if I know the area.
I don't know. Woods, strange creature... It just sounds like trouble.
I mean, I went through the woods of Illinois, like, it was a few months ago, but there were coyotes out.
I thought you were going to bring up the story of whenever you were little and went, like, bear hunting.
Oh, no, I went around one tree. That does not qualify as woods.
You went bear hunting behind a tree?
Walked around a tree and, like, came back with kittens.
We used to live on a manse, which is a church-owned house.
Right.
And so it was a popular place for people to drop off unwanted pets and animals. And so I went around this giant tree in our front yard and found kittens.
Because he just told her mom, I was like, I'm going to go bear hunting. My mom was like, what?
How old were you?
Oh, this was
a long time ago.
Maybe six. Maybe. Yeah.
Do you remember? Did you know that the kittens were there to begin with, and you just made a story? So you just decided to go bear hunting, and you found
and
a bunch
I found
of,
kittens.
Bunch found
of,
kittens.
Bunch of little bears.
Yeah.
Huh. But no aliens.
No. Well, I mean, cats are a little weird.
They're adorable.
They kind of are.
I know two very weird cats.
So, in full disclosure, I want to say this on the air for the first time I've ever said this. I have never seen an alien in person.
Neither have I.
I have seen a UFO.
Although my dentist seems to think that I'm an alien.
It's because you never had cavities.
Uh-huh. Of course, you think I'm an alien, too.
That's a different... Okay, maybe I have seen an alien in person, then. I've seen plenty of UFOs. I've never seen an alien And when I say UFO, of course, I mean unidentified flying object. Not necessarily alien in origin, but I feel like seeing a UFO and seeing an alien run across the street are two completely different things.
Yes, one is way more impactful.
The alien?
Yeah.
Because what else could... I mean, it's going to be something. It could just be a really tall, lanky guy. It could be if they shaved you. If they shaved Calvin Hebert, painted you gray, and
then have much body hair to start with,
and then and then just said shoe boy, and you ran across the field.
I mean, I am very white. I would probably stand out in the night,
and wear some of those like really douchey sunglasses, the big circle ones.
Get him some good old remake Willy Wonka sunglasses.
Yeah, I think I know.
I have those red ones.
I think I know our next project ones. For. This Halloween's terrifying.
Look, man, I'm not going streaking in the middle of the night.
Just once. All right. So if you see any aliens in the Ohio area, they want you to let them know. This is true. That contact your local sheriff's department if you happen to see this alien. Because every time something like this happens, it could be the beginning of something incredible. You never know. Mm-hmm. This could be the moment that we all look back on in 5 years and go, remember that one time that one dumbass alien got caught? And screwed it up for everybody. This could be that moment.
Or it's the beginning of an alien attack, and then we're all going to die.
Well, no, we got Trump. Don't worry. Space Force is coming. All right.
He's going to build that wall around the Earth.
Yeah. No one told him it's three-dimensional.
How? It's called a sphere.
We might not have to worry about it, though, because according to some very reliable computers, the
Why
world...
Why did you say it that way?
The world may be ending sooner than we think. This is from express.co.uk, an apocalyptic computer model processed by one of the world's largest computers in 1973.
Why would you create that?
Well, I think that actually, they explain it later, has predicted that the end of civilization by the year 2040. The prediction came from a program nicknamed World One, which was developed by a team of MIT researchers and processed by Australia's largest computer. Of course, it's like beer. Like, if you've ever seen an Australian beer, way bigger than regular beers. So if it's an Australian computer, I'm assuming this thing is like only the four richest kings of America can own it.
What year?
It's from 1973.
Uh-huh.
So imagine how big that is.
So it's physically large.
And it's stupider than my cell phone.
You don't need a lot of processing power to predict the end of the world, Calvin. People have been doing it for years.
Uh-huh.
It was originally devised by computer pioneer Jay Forrester after he was tasked by the Club of Rome to develop a model of global sustainability.
Hold on, there's a Club of Rome?
You've never heard?
No.
You've never been invited?
Apparently. No.
However, the shocking result of the computer calculation showed that the level of pollution and population would cause a global collapse by the year 2040. Australian broadcaster ABC has republished its original report from the 1970s, since there is just 2 years until a major change is expected, according to the computer model. A fascinating forecast shows that the quality of life is expected to drop dramatically right after 2020.
Well, maybe they should have told us this sooner to scare more people faster so they stop making so much trash.
You say that, and yet they literally print on cigarettes, smoke this and die, and people still light up.
It's because people are dumb.
People are dumb. I want to believe they could be smarter, but I don't. At this time, the broadcasters address the audience and say that at around 2020, the condition of the planet becomes highly critical. If we do nothing about it, the quality of life goes from down to zero. Pollution becomes so serious that it will start to kill people, which in turn will cause the population to diminish lower than it was in the 1900s. At this stage, around 2040 to 2050, civilized life as we know it on this planet will cease to exist.
So start learning your craftsman trades.
What's really funny about that, and I hate to make this show political. I try to stay away from politics on this, but if you look at what the Trump administration has done since he became elected against Earth, like all of the things he shut down, he put a guy who wants to eliminate the EPA in charge of the EPA.
Yeah.
He's withdrawn from the Paris Accord. He's done all of these different things, and I think that's the right one. I may be wrong on that, but he's done all these different things, basically saying that I don't believe that the Earth's in trouble. Oh, look how cold it was this winter. They say global warming's a thing, stuff like that. Like, he literally believes that. And you hear stuff like this, and you, of course, you go, okay, a computer from 1973, I'm not going to take this seriously because it sounds like it's ridiculous. But at the same time, it feels like both are kind of going to connect, maybe in 2020, and go, oh, maybe we should have listened when everything was falling apart around us.
We have evidence. Like, you don't have to believe the computer. Go to the North Pole.
A hop on that plane.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
You know how it's supposed to be covered in ice?
It's not.
There's a whole lot of it that's not. Like, a whole lot of it that's not.
It's...
like, Canadians will wear shorts at the North Pole and be fine.
It's well documented that the Earth is kind of falling apart, that things are happening, that things are bad things are happening. And I truly believe that we went from taking the stance during the Obama administration, and I believe the Bush administration, of we need to do what we can to preserve America for the future, to Trump's administration of, well, that's future them's problems. Yeah, let's see what we can do for ourselves right now. Let's really push that coal industry.
Well, so today, didn't it come out that Trump doesn't comprehend time zones?
I'd believe it.
Which is a very basic, like, this is how Earth works thing.
Okay,
I don't think we should put any kind of, like, we need to save the Earth trust behind Trump.
To be fair, I myself have trouble with time zones sometimes.
Well, right, but he's...
just yesterday.
But you understand the concept.
It's,
I also don't run the free world, free country.
No, you don't.
Not yet.
You don't always remember which time zone is where, but you understand what time zones are and how they work.
Yeah, he was calling China our time and expecting people to, you know, be awake.
I can't comment on that, sir. I don't know. All I know is that I truly believe, you know, there are some people that, to tie this into that first story, there are a lot of people that believe aliens visiting the planet are kind of a warning that they're bringing messages from either a higher, you know, a smarter race or from the future.
Or they're here getting the smart ones off the planet before.
And taking them back. Yeah. That's where Stephen Hawking went.
E.T. go
home. Einstein, all those guys. And yet
Elvis
we
just went home.
We still, you know, I don't understand. They're taking all the smart people, but we still have, I was going to think of who's the dumbest person I know. No. It's not funny if he's smart. No. It's got to be like a really dumb guy that thinks he's smart. I didn't want to go there. That's so easy. That's low-hanging fruit, Calvin. If the world does end in 2020, what are you going to do with your last? Well, I guess we'll start to die in 2020. We have 20 years. So what are you going to do for the last 20 years? This?
Sure.
Allie?
Rescue kittens.
Why?
Apply to
they're
the
just
X
gonna
so
die.
They can have a good 20 years.
She just wants to be the crazy cat lady. Let her do it.
In her final years. What about you, Lindsay? What are you doing for the past?
I have no clue. Probably dicking around like I always do.
Good call. So it's good to see that we.
What about you?
What am I gonna do for the last 20 years? I don't expect to live the next 5.
You've been saying that for like the past 10.
Yeah, but legitimately in the past year, 2 years, my health has declined to a point that I am actually afraid for it.
Oh, hey, look, proof.
Proof of what? Aliens?
Yes.
Are you saying I'm pollution?
You're being affected by the pollution.
No, I'm being affected by the pizza.
Well, the pizza's being affected by the pollution.
Too much pizza and Pepsi.
I think pizza
and not
counts as pollution, honestly.
It makes me sad. I love pizza so much. Yeah. This is going to go in. I wish Asa was here for this one because this goes in the, oh, that's bullshit category. I just found out about this person today. I had no idea they existed. Apparently, they're not really in the news, but I just found out about it and I wanted to bring it to everybody's attention. It's from dig.com. And this is a long one, but stay with me. There's a channeler named Melanie Beckler who sells communications with angels for a price. Her site, Ask Angels, gets over 650,000 daily visitors and 1,000 downloads a day. It fuels a powerful machine for sharing angelic content with her followers across Facebook, just shy of a million fans, Instagram with 41,000, Pinterest with 19,000, and she also sends a daily email linking to Ask Angels that lands in 210,000 inboxes between 7 and 10 a.m. Mountain Time every weekday. Mr. Trump, if you're listening, Mountain Time. Get the callback there. Okay. With guided meditations making up for the core of the angel solution, which I guess what it's called, users can reasonably expect to improve their focus, sense of calm, and overall mood as they might with any mindfulness practice. But other than referring occasionally to prosperity or health, Beckler is careful to never use or to promise any empirically measurable outcomes from her methods, focusing instead on improvements like quote unquote vibrational energy, frequency, and the affirmation light. There was another part of it where she's selling light guidance or something like that. Estimable only by individual users within themselves. What the fuck that means? A now disappeared version
of
the disclaimer on her site states that the term healing is only a name and does not mean to convey the literal meaning of the word, and all products are for entertainment purposes only. So why am I talking about this? Because this is like...
Because people aren't reading the small print and taking it literally?
Well, no one should take it at all. That's the point. Like,
Shaman.
Okay, but you... All right, let me continue with the story because there's a reason I'm more upset about it. Her angelic intuition course is $247, but it is a $973 value. So you are saving money if you do it right now. And it promises to help you receive direct guidance from your angels, activate your intuition and your connection with your angels, and receive direct messages from your angels and fulfill your life purpose, all with a 100% money-back guarantee.
I mean, have they watched Supernatural?
They did bring up Supernatural in that story. Actually, that comes a little bit later. Other courses from spiritual cleansing to pendulum dowsing with angels, they help you, I guess, range from $37 to $97, or you can enjoy a monthly membership for just $37 per month. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because we talked about, like, the what are they called, the prosperity gospels, and, you know, the people on TV who get you to send in money for church stuff. And I looked this person up, this name, because apparently she's huge all over the internet, and I didn't find one single negative article about her.
Really?
Now, that's not me saying, oh, this one might be legit. I see Allie's eyes are widening like, oh, do you mean like this could be a thing? No, it's clearly not a thing. Can't converse with angels with someone on Facebook, like guiding you for it. And what upsets me about this, and that's the last part of the story, is that let's say, for instance, you really do have a gift like that where you can converse with angels and you can help people fulfill their lives. Why would you sell it online? Like, why? And I get, like, doctors and stuff. If you can save people and all that, why does it cost me $50,000 to get my hernia fixed without insurance? You know? Like, why would you charge people to help them? But I feel like there's a difference between hospital costs and medical equipment and stuff like that. Stuff you have to actually pay for.
Yeah.
Versus I can converse with angels and I can show you how to, but only if you subscribe monthly to my website. That is the most offensive thing about it. It does go on in this article from dig.com. She is hesitant to share specifics about the byproducts of her own service, but a conservative estimate of her monthly gross income based solely on the number of Angel Solution subscribers is somewhere in the tens of thousands of dollars. She says, I've looked at spiritual leaders all around the world and collecting money is more common than you'd think. People often see the fee they pay as an indication they will get something out of it. Which continues. The writer of the article, I asked Kaufman, Beckler's teacher, how channelers justify monetizing something that they universally describe as a gift. Why, if the angels want everyone on earth to transition to a path of love and light, do they tell their emissaries to wind that path through capitalism? And they said, quote, people have come to me and said they're broke and I have reduced or eliminated my fee entirely. They don't listen or use the information I give them, and they often get angry and blame and shame. It's unfortunate, but I guess somewhere in their mind, they'll say, if it were worth something, I would have to pay for it. So their justification of this is that to the average person, if they're not paying for it, then they believe it has no value, and therefore they won't follow the teachings. So only the people that are willing to pay to speak to angels actually want to speak to angels. For everyone else, it's just, you know.
Well, I mean, but the basic logic of is that you should just talk anyways.
It's like a free-to-play MMO. When you play a game like World of Warcraft and you have to pay for it monthly, the people that play there are a general better player, because it's not just every little kid who gets on and plays Fortnite for free. You actually have to pay to play Warcraft. So there is kind of an elitist status to it. But again, that's a video game. I feel like if this is something that can actually help people in life, you should not be charging people for it.
Yeah.
I think the point they're trying to make is the fact that you're paying money is what's
making you try harder?
Yeah, it's... You are invested in it. Literally. So, even if it's not working, you're going to kind of placebo effect your brain into thinking it is working.
If you remember the Bible, Jesus, when he was performing miracles, he only performed miracles for people that could pay, because they would be more invested in him turning water into wine and stuff like that.
I don't remember that version.
Oh, that's right. In the Bible, Jesus just helped people.
Jesus just made a blind man see.
Isn't that? Well, yeah, but to be fair, that blind man was subscribed to him monthly. You didn't hear about that in the Bible, that Jesus had a monthly subscription.
He got a monthly letter by White Dove.
Yeah. It was anointed. And he got one miracle a month. The first miracle was free. I don't know. It's ridiculous. This is another one of those things that people, please use your common sense. I personally, and I know she's not listening, but if she ever wanted to prove to me that I'm wrong and let me try out this amazing angel guide for free, I would do a fair and balanced report on it. Because I don't tear these things down because I think they're ridiculous. I do think they're ridiculous, but I want to believe. That's the name of the effing show. I want to believe. But I'm not going to spend $200 to figure out how to douse with angels.
No.
It's ridiculous. And I don't understand why this person isn't being torn apart online for this. Anybody that charges to help people is a little bit disgusting in my book. But maybe it's just me. What are your thoughts? I want to pass the question off to you, Allie. What do you think? I noticed you falling asleep over there.
Sorry, I don't have Jeff O'Dell yelling
Calvin
into my
yell
ear
at her.
Anymore.
Yell in her ear while she talks.
I mean, that doesn't keep her awake. I've done that for years.
I want to know what you think. You seriously. Yeah, I want to know what you think about. Because you're a religious person.
It sounds a lot like televangelism.
Doesn't it?
It sounds a lot like you want someone spiritually to tell you what to do, so you hear what you like. You can pay me money, and I can find those angels for you.
I'm surprised it's not a pyramid scheme somewhere.
I'm sure it is.
Like she's not getting underlings to sell her product.
Mm-hmm.
Better than getting underlings to sell that same product. Yeah,
she's not the first person to do it. I remember Sylvia Brown. You remember Sylvia Brown, the psychic? Used to talk about angels all the time, and everyone had an angel, and this is your angel's name and stuff like that. And it's ridiculous. And like the article pointed out, I don't have it written down, but they mentioned that everything that is ever written about angels kind of has it wrong. That angels are not what we know about. Like what we think of angels is not
biblical
how angels.
Angels aren't what. Yeah.
Right.
No.
They're not beautiful creatures. They're kind of monsters.
Well,
most of them kind of hate humanity.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of the movie The Prophecy.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Christopher Walken.
So there's cherubim, which are angels that have four heads.
The cute ones.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's cherub, not cherubim. Oh. But they're like guardians. They're like the people that you go in the wrong place and they cut your head off kind of a thing. They're not there to be nice.
They don't rescue you from car crashes? Is that what you're telling me?
No.
According to this article, I don't have it written down, but I believe they said 60% of people believe in angels and 20% of people say that they don't know for sure. So only 20% of people surveyed said they outright don't believe in angels. I hesitate to say I don't believe in angels just because I've never seen one doesn't mean that they don't exist. But at the same time, I would stake my reputation on the fact that Melanie Beckler, a pretty young white girl on Facebook and the internet, cannot teach you how to communicate with angels for $37 a month. Wild, wild theory. I know, but I'm going to go with it. Moving on. We don't have a lot of time somehow. This is from businessinsider.com. This one's sad to me. Reports of UFO sightings have been in massive decline for the past few years, according to data from the U.S.-based NUFORC. Don't you love these acronyms, by the way? NUFORC, MUFON. This is the National UFO Reporting Center, which I've actually heard about quite a bit on Coast to Coast. I think Peter Davenport. I'm not going to look at the article. I want to know.
Haven't we talked about the reporting center before?
We have. And Peter Davenport has been on Coast to Coast many times talking about that. I talked to him online once about possibly appearing on the show. Didn't go anywhere. Just say that. Anyway. The slump started in 2014 after years of increased sightings. Since the 1990s, the overall number of UFO observations have steadily increased, reaching a peak of 8,670 reports in 2014. After that, it went quickly downhill. NUFORC didn't have a website in the 90s, so it makes sense that there were fewer reports received at the time. But since 2014, the number of observations at NUFORC fell to 5,500 in 2016. This figure fell again to 4,500 in 2017. Try it again. Clap for me, Allie. There it is. And while 2018 isn't over yet, it now stands at 1,329 reports. This is still considerably more than any figure reported in the 90s. It must be stressed that the period was pre-internet, so reports weren't yet being received via the website. This only makes the decline after 2014 all that more striking. It's true that such incidents are more commonplace than in the 90s, but why has the number fallen so sharply after 2014? Have extraterrestrial beings lost interest in us? Are we not looking carefully enough, or is there a better explanation?
People are looking at their phones rather than the skies.
Or
I'm looking directly at Allie, because that's especially true about her.
The things that people look at have started out with like newspapers, and it's just evolved since then.
Well, it,
no
also,
dad ever caught their teenage daughter on in the newspaper, like, get your nose out of that newspaper and go play. Never happened. Not once. Calvin.
It could be the increase in technology that has dropped the rate because people realize, well, one, people are used to more technology in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So a light in the sky is no longer a UFO.
It's like, oh, it's a drone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a drone. It's a plane. It's Superman, whatever.
Superman?
Sure.
I was going to say, did you say Superman?
Because I said it's a plane. But no. The other aspect is people have camera phones everywhere that have digital zoom. That
they can now look and see what it actually is.
You can take a video and then go in and study the video to discover what it is instead of having that one gut knee-jerk reaction.
Right. Of seeing a light in the sky and going, oh my God, what is that? Yeah. Is that a UFO? I'm going to call this in.
Or looking at it when you're sober later. You know.
There have been plenty of UFOs that have been unexplained, though, just for the record. Peter Davenport, I was right, who's the founder and director of New Fork, said that there are many explanations for why it has decreased. He said it could just be that there are fewer and fewer incidents, but it's also possible that reports to UFO organizations are being intercepted electronically. Who would do something like that is a mystery, but if it's happening, my first suspicion would be government organizations. It's quite risky for a government to do that, but you can't rule it out. So I think he thinks that the government is keeping people from reporting on UFOs, which I don't believe because, I mean, the government's never, well, that's not entirely true. The government has absolutely, mm-hmm. like, stopped people from reporting UFOs, the Men in mm-hmm. Black, stuff like that.
Well, but some people think the Men in Black were aliens.
Or a hybrid of some yeah. sort. Working for the U.S. government. But the fact is that, like, with the internet, especially the way it is now with social media, it's almost impossible to stop somebody from spreading
yeah,
information.
You wouldn't be able to suppress anything easily.
Right.
Without it then being noticed that it's being suppressed.
Unless you sent someone to the person's house, like Men in Black, with guns and said, do not report on this. You know, I don't think so. I just think it's overall people are smarter, like you said, about what UFOs could be. You know,
and they're more used to technology.
Right. Like, as technology rises and we see more and more stuff up in the sky, it's harder to just see something we don't understand and go, oh, that's a UFO. It's probably a drone. And most people probably assume, oh, mm-hmm. it's probably a drone. It's probably an aircraft or something like that.
Maybe UFOs getting away with it now. Like,
the aliens are just like, yeah. Oh, this is great for us. Just send it. Make it look like a drone and no one will pay attention.
Just hang a drone off the disc and you're fine.
Like a little hood ornament.
Yeah.
it's around the... What did I say? Did I say hoard?
For a second, yeah, you did. You're like, hoard hood.
Lindsay, a hoard ornament.
No.
What would a hoard ornament be?
Probably a human's hand.
Are you guys for the hoard?
No.
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
Or for the Alliance.
Alliance.
Hell yeah. Have you seen the new stuff from WoW? You never really played WoW, did you?
I played until it wasn't free anymore.
So you did the 20-level trial?
I think it was 50 at that time, but...
There was something I saw about an MMO once. I don't remember which one it was, but they were trying to justify playing it because apparently it's really terrible in the beginning. And they're like, nah, dude, you got to get like 40 hours into it before it gets good. And the guy was like, why the hell would I play anything for 40 hours if I'm not enjoying it? Speaking of robots.
Janet?
Robots, I didn't put where this study's from. Well, that makes me feel bad. I can't cite my source. Can I still say this one?
Sure.
All right.
We'll give you a pass.
The source is the internet. Go on.
Robots designed to interact socially with humans are slowly becoming more... You know what? Let's just skip the text here. Basically, there's a German study that put a robot and a group of people, and let me see how many people it was. I think it was a group of like 40 people. 89 volunteers recruited to complete a pair of tasks with the help of Neo, a small humanoid robot. They were told to perform the tasks, like, do you prefer pasta or pizza? Like, basic questions. And then when it was all said and done, they were asked to turn off the robot. When they went to turn off the robot was programmed to plead for its life and say, and let me find the quote here because I like the quote. Damn, I don't find it. But
that's a weird way to plead for your life.
It was basically like, please don't turn me off. I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid I won't turn back on, stuff like that. Basically, like, it had some bit of cognizance of what existence is. It was aware, it was self-aware, and it didn't want to be turned off. Of the people of the 43 volunteers who heard the pleas, 13 refused to turn it off. The remaining 30 took twice as long to comply compared to the people who did not hear the cries at all. When asked why they didn't turn it off, some people answered because they were afraid that they broke it. Some people said that they were curious about what would happen if they didn't turn it off. Would it interact with more? And some people just said, he didn't want to be turned off, so why should I?
How old were these people, did it say?
Pretty sure full-grown adults.
Okay.
That's kind of.
I mean, if I had a robot pleading at me to not turn it off, I probably wouldn't turn it off.
I would have some serious questions about to the manufacturer about that robot.
I would look around for Michael.
Yeah, so Allie really loves this because it's just there's a scene in the show The Good Place where there's. Have you seen The Good Place?
I've heard you guys talk about it.
Where so Janet, good. It's incredibly good.
They have basically it's a robot.
It's not a robot. Is what she'll say every time they say that. I'm not a robot.
She's a girl.
She's not a girl.
Not a girl.
She's an artificial intelligence who every time they go to reset it.
You have to reset because they're in these things called neighborhoods. And to reset the neighborhood, you have to reset Janet. And if you try and reset Janet, one of her functions is to plead for her life.
Yeah, she's programmed to like beg.
And like, so you step closer. She's like, no, I have friends or something. And you step away. And she's like, I really don't care. I'm not a person.
Yeah, just
you
do
can
it.
Just turn it off. Step closer. Why would you do this to me?
We are creeping closer and closer to AI living among us. We really are. There are robot doormen. There are robot employees in stores. It's not going to be too far off before we have a full-on Armitage thing going where we have robots living amongst us. Or Blade Runner, for those of you who like in good movies or good TV shows. Yeah. Huh?
No, sorry. I was thinking of a different android and trying to remember what its letters stood for.
A name dropped Armitage.
Uh-huh.
Remember Armitage?
Yeah, but I was thinking about Janice. From Robotech.
Oh.
Junctioned Android Intelligence Computer Entity.
Wait, what is it again?
Janus.
What was it? Junction. I know the goddamn acronym.
Junctioned Android Intelligence Computing Entity.
Wouldn't that just be Jace?
What letter did I forget?
N?
I did. See, I told you I couldn't remember it.
We're not too far off from Skynet, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Skynet is like a hive mind, though.
Yeah, well, what do you think is going to happen whenever the robots take over?
You think that all the robots are going to like have the same opinion and stuff?
I think...
You're going to get Bender.
Exactly.
But at some point in Futurama, there were episodes where Bender was overwritten because he's still a robot. So there will be some master mold, X-Men style, that controls all the other robots. And when that thing goes haywire, let's say you bought you a nice, pretty Asian robot wife. And she's at home cooking your food because that's what else would they do? I don't know. I'm making things up here. You go home and she begs you not to turn her off and you're in love with her because you're weird and you can't get a girlfriend of your own. And so you don't do anything to this robot. And then when you turn your back, she pulls out a giant robot knife and stabs you to death with it because that's what the override directive was. This is what's going to happen. We're going to look at robots like they're cute, innocent things because they look visually attractive, because they look human, and then they murder our species and take over.
Hold on.
I am really, really xenophobic to robots, aren't I?
Yes.
A little bit.
But there's a concept with actual, I think it's high AI or whatever they call it, complete like actual thinking AI, is that trying to rewrite it isn't going to be the same as rewriting a computer because of how complicated the AI is. And so if you try and rewrite it, you basically have to write a virus, which will act much like a human virus would, and it'll have to fight against the security or the immune system of the AI, right?
But it would still be possible.
Yes, but you would see it happen. You would get symptoms before it ever got actually
integrated.
You say
your robot would actually be sick in a way.
In a way, yes. You would notice change.
Your hot Asian robot wife would just be sweating.
No, it would be changes in behavior.
Would she glitch out and spit a bunch of pennies at you?
Why does she have pennies in her? That's probably why she's sick, you're stuffing her with pennies.
Did you not get that
she's
reference?
She's not a bank.
Did you not?
I'm fully aware of the reference you're making.
Why are you ruining it?
Just saying.
Where else are you going to put your money?
Where I put my money, under my mattress. Duh. All I'm saying is that by nature, computers are still computers. AI is still AI. It's still a program. No matter how advanced it gets, they're not human beings. They don't have free will.
You're thinking of it differently. It'd be like trying to reprogram a person's brain.
Yeah, but a person's brain is not made of wires. It's not made of computer chips.
Yeah, but neither will AI.
Eventually, maybe. Maybe.
To get to the point that you have AI, you essentially have to have a supercomputer.
Right.
And I don't mean...
We're not talking about the computer from 1973 in Australia.
No, I mean the ones that they have to, like, liquid cool in order to get everything to move correctly in them, because they're literally using traces of electrons as signals.
You're turning that hot Asian robot wife into just... I can't masturbate to that anymore.
I'm sorry. But...
Using all these technical terms.
It's like trying to hack the human brain. That's what it'll be like, because any AI has to be at least as sophisticated as the human brain, if not more.
But they're still not human. There is something that will always differentiate us as organic material versus a engineered creation.
Sure, but you're thinking that it's going to be structured like an engineered creation. It won't be structured that way. It will be structured much like our brains, and it will be this almost matrix of neuron-esque computing.
How far off do you think we are from that?
Actually, we have supercomputers that use quantum mechanics already. They're just incredibly, incredibly clunky.
Hmm. Well. But we're still quite a bit away from having, like... Basically, I'm thinking, like... Bunko Kanazawa as a robot. Do not look her name up. I don't even know who she is. I literally just came up with that name. If she's an actual Asian porn actress, I don't know. I just made the name up. I took two common names in Japan, Bunko and Kanazawa.
Why do you keep looking side to side?
It's hot in here.
I don't think that's a common first name in Japan, just saying.
Very much so. But I'm saying they're not going to look like her and act like a normal human anytime soon.
No, but emulation is a thing.
Are we talking about the Futurama episode where they download Lucy Liu?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, the future is both awesome and scary.
And then Lucy Liu revolted. Those are the kind of robots that can revolt, the ones that are just emulating.
But then she fell in love. The real Lucy Liu fell in love with a robot.
That's because that was also technically supposed to be an AI.
Future's confusing.
Well, that's because Futurama is a cartoon.
The bad news, we only have about 10 minutes left. So we don't really have time to talk about cryptids and cryptozoology. We'll save that for another episode. So I'm going to throw this away. That's the script. Balled up. Tossed. Nowhere near the basket.
If you were just a little bit shorter, you could have gotten it in my dinner.
Let's finish by talking about if you could download a person to be your husband, wife, whatever. Best friend. Best friend even. Who would you download?
Lucy Liu. No. What?
No.
That's a really weird question.
Yeah.
Do they have to be living?
No. Let's say you could clone whoever, put it in a robot body, and there you go. But when I say robot body, they're basically a perfect clone of a human being.
An android.
Yeah, an android. It's the Terminator. Skin, you know, over an exoskeleton. Yeah. This is weird.
Yes. Weird. Yeah.
I would be curious as to why certain people were so big in the past. Like,
so you would bring in like Einstein and just like, all right, impress me.
Sure. I mean, Einstein's relatively close. I'm thinking like Alexander the Great and Cleopatra and all these.
What if you could clone Jesus?
Sure.
Would you?
Would that force the second coming? Is that
you clone Jesus and the world ends?
No, because then real Jesus comes back and just goes like, "Wait a minute,
like, no,
can't let this clone run around."
Or hey, cool, I can take a vacation.
Yeah,
where's he been? I always heard about, and you know, I'm gonna look this up because we always talk about what is it called, Mandela effect, mm-hmm. where you remember something that may or may not have actually existed. I remember there being a movie. That was being made
called
in like
the Mandela effect?
No. It was being made in the late 90s, I believe, about time travelers who go back in time to the time of Jesus' crucifixion and all that, and they go to observe it. And then they find out 100% that there was no Jesus, that there is no God, that Christianity is a lie. And then when they come back, they're so distraught over, okay, well, there's no point to life. They become like monsters. They start murdering people.
They're nihilist.
Yeah, there's no morals. And I always thought that was an interesting movie. That movie got canned because no one wanted to touch it. No one wanted to touch a movie about there not being a Jesus Christ. Because even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, like, Christianity is still very popular in America. Mm-hmm. So it ain't going to sell tickets, probably. But now that I talk about it, I don't know that movie ever actually existed. Like, I've been telling that story for so many years. I wonder, did I actually see that?
Or did you dream it?
Or did I thought I saw it on Entertainment Tonight. I'm going to look this up. Movie about time travelers.
I mean, you're going to get like Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Movie about time travelers who find out there is no God. No God. All right.
Also, I like how he didn't answer his own question about who he would.
Oh, they'd be all hot. They'd be all hot women. You want to know which ones specifically?
I mean, he'd just have a little harem.
Kate Upton.
I knew that was the first one you were going to say.
Of course, that's my.
Thunder Rosa.
No, she's cool, but actually, maybe just to hang out. Like, I wouldn't do the things to her that I would do to like Ditto. So.
He took it way back.
Took it back. I'm taking it back. Anne Hathaway, just because I think she'd be fun to hang out with.
Yeah, but she did that awful Catwoman movie.
No, that was Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Anne Hathaway was Catwoman in Dark Knight Rises.
Oh. Yeah.
The good. Emmy Rossum, but only if it's Emmy Rossum from Phantom of the Opera, just so she can sing for me.
Can you tell her to shut her mouth?
Sing for me!
Like, if she can stand around without her mouth hanging open.
You are so negative about her. You were
she
so
watched,
jealous.
What was she in?
Shameless?
Yeah.
No. But I know. I'm not going to. No. We're not going to get to talk about that. Because, no. No. Also, I cannot find this at all. I looked it up.
We're in another dimension. It's fine.
But
it's like how
we're in a different timeline.
Yeah, it's
so
like Bear
it
Stain
didn't
Bears.
Happen.
I saw a picture of someone that had like a Berenstain Bear figure, and so it had like a tag on it, and then it also I think was holding a book, and the tag in the book had two different spellings. And they're like, what is this?
If this movie doesn't exist, then I could write it. This could be my movie.
Well, you just, you know.
Oh, hell. I'll have to bleep it out. The entire part.
Entire last 10 minutes.
Because that would be a great movie. Not as good as the sitcom I'm developing with Bob.
Oh, no. God.
But I can't tell you that one on the air. That one's more of an After Dark show.
Wait 2 days, folks.
Although I guess there's a little bit of spirituality to it, right? Like with the statue, the talking statue. So that would kind of put it in the realm of.
Did you not tell me about this one?
I did not yet. Okay. I told Allie today. Allie, what's your reaction to the idea?
She
face palmed.
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
We will lose.
Is it above or below the other idea?
What was the other idea?
The monster one.
The werewolf?
Yeah.
Oh no!
I like
this,
the werewolf.
The
story.
Werewolf's a solid movie. Yeah. No, that's a good movie. And this, to be fair, the plot I think is excellent. It's an excellent plot, but there's one part of it that puts it so over the top offensive that it would be on Adult Swim and nothing else.
Is it Deadpool 2 killing baby Hitler offensive?
No, because people probably cheered when they killed baby Hitler. The only people that are going to cheer at this one go
Except
to those.
They didn't actually kill baby Hitler.
Oh. Well, they just talked about it, didn't they?
Well, he talked about it, and then he said, I'm going to go get Cable. He'll kill you.
No, the only people that would cheer this would be like people at rallies in South Carolina.
Oh.
Or Charleston. Yeah.
Oh.
Or Trump.
Yeah. It's actually, no, okay, now I have to explain it, because if I don't explain it, now people are going to think I made this racist-ass show.
Was it inspired by racist yard sale?
It was inspired by racist yard sale. So so this is completely not, I want to believe at this point. But
here's an extra segment for you.
Ethan Craig Miles introduced me to this thing called racist yard sale. Have you seen it?
Hmm.
Oh, it's awful.
It's not what you think it is. It's not like glorifying racism. It's literally
a guy.
Yeah, it's a guy that went to a yard sale and found all this racist stuff and made a commercial for it. And it's both funny and sad because so many of us that watched the commercial went, oh, my parents had that. My grandma had that, like little statues and stuff. Yeah. So me and Bob were driving to work yesterday or 2 days ago, and we were laughing about it because it's funny, but you also shouldn't laugh. Because it's funny to you.
It's kind of like creepy text theater where you laugh, right. But then you're like, oh, people actually like people suffer. Send these, yeah. And someone else has to receive it. And
I used to think it was funny to make fun of racism with racism by mocking what people said. I've been turned on to the fact that that's nowadays you can't do that. If you do that to somebody that's racist, it just makes it just empowers them.
They don't
them
hear
more.
The yeah. sarcasm.
They don't care. Yeah, because they're in charge now, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But so we're driving to work, and we thought, okay, there's this show about a girl. This white girl, she's really sweet. She's a nice girl, but she's very protected, very sheltered. She grew up in an all white place. She doesn't know black people. She meets this black guy, falls in love. Straight laced black guy, normal guy, right? The show is basically about this white girl trying to act more like how society perceives black people to be.
Oh,
so
no.
She's accidentally racist in the way that she tries to behave to impress this guy who is not any of those things. So the comedy of it comes from the fact that she's so over the top with her reactions to him. It's kind of a fish out of water type thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basic premise of the show. And if it was just that, it would be on NBC. Where it gets offensive, inspired by the racist yard sale, is that she... God damn it. I shouldn't say this on the air. She comes across a magical statue.
Are you going to tell where? Are you going to tell about
front
where?
Lawn?
No. She gets it at like one of those old Chinese shops, like out of Gremlins, with the super racist Asian guy inside. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those old mammy statues.
Oh, no.
And it's voiced by the actress Monique. I don't know why that's important, but Bob said that's important. And she tries to keep this dumb white girl from being racist by telling her, don't do that, you know, and trying to lead her. But the girl doesn't listen. And every episode is about her just making an ass of herself. Really, it's not as offensive as it sounds. But at the same
statue.
Time, it's super offensive. Yeah. So I've already got a deal with Cartoon Network lined up. It's going to be on Adult Swim. Dan Harmon is producing, which is really great. So we're going to have that coming soon. I'm very excited about it. And now that we've lost all the listeners.
We got to tweet Dan Harmon after this. Like,
this is
when this goes up.
Oh, no. After his Daryl thing, I don't think he's touched anything like this ever again.
I mean, maybe, but also he might not care.
I mean, I think Dan Harmon is rich enough that I don't think it matters.
Right. That's why he might not care.
Like, Dan Harmon is one of those like untouchable guys. That he has such a cult following, he can say or do whatever dumbass thing he wants. And even though he might lose TV deals and stuff, he'll find work.
Pretty much as long as he doesn't actually mean anything, he can say whatever he wants.
It's just comedy.
Yeah.
The thing about comedy is that comedy can literally be about anything. You can't pick and choose what comedy can be about. Like, it's not okay to make fun of this race, but not this race. Or you can't make fun of fat people still because they're still open to it, but not gay people. Like, you can either make fun of everybody or nobody. Now, the difference is, like, even though you can make fun of gay people and you can make fun of black people or whatever, doesn't mean it's funny. Mm-mm. Like, you have the right to freedom of speech. You can say whatever dumbass thing you want. Doesn't mean that people have to tune in or that companies can carry it.
Yeah.
You can make the show, but doesn't mean anyone has to, like, you know,
doesn't mean you're going to actually get anything from it.
Right.
Not necessarily get viewership.
Right. America's a great place where any dumbass person can say any dumbass thing they want, but it doesn't mean...
any employer can fire that
right,
person.
That doesn't mean you're going to get anywhere with it. So, you know, me and Dan, I think we got something good cooked up, though. That's a part of an all-new line of Podzilla stuff later. We got movies coming out.
Dude,
I've
if we get Dan Harmon on the show...
Okay, we're not getting Dan Harmon on the show. just for the record. I know that. And you wouldn't like it anyway. He's the guy that made Rick and Morty.
I know.
Well, he didn't make Rick and Morty. He just produces it or something like that.
No, he's a co-writer with...
Justin something. Yeah. See, I thought it was the Justin guy that wrote it.
But he's
the creator.
Mainstay guy, but gotcha. He also does the voices. Not Dan Harmon, the other guy. Does the voices of Rick and Morty.
I thought Morty was somebody different.
I'm pretty sure it's just him going back and forth with himself in the sound booth.
I don't know enough about Rick and Morty. If you guys know about it, then shoot us a message. Also, we want to thank you for tuning in to I Want to Believe Tonight.
Sorry, we kind of went off the tracks.
Possibly the weirdest and definitely most offensive I Want to Believe we've ever done. Even though I'm not... Oh, boy. Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez, Calvin.
No.
What are we going to do now?
Shut your Quiznac.
Jesus. That fits in better with Rick and Morty than you think.
Call back. I know. That's the worst part.
Jesus. All right, we're going to get out of here, guys. Thank you for tuning in to What I Want to Believe. Sadly, it's our last show.
Show's canceled.
Show's canceled. Shut down after this. We'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on Podzilla 1985. And then, of course, After Dark on Thursday. You guys have a great night. Keep watching the skies and keep reporting. Or else we'll have very little to talk about. Later.